This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
And as we're taking our seats tonight, we're going to have a quick thought from Zechariah chapter 11. As you know, last Sunday we started a series on Zechariah, and so tonight we get to think about Zechariah chapter 11. Like me, you've probably been intrigued at why we call Good Friday Good Friday. After all, what's happening on Good Friday? Which we get confused in my house. Like in my house, all the kids are like, so it's Black Friday? No, that's the day after Thanksgiving. Good Friday is something good. And then they're like, wait, Good Friday? And it's about Jesus dying on the cross? What's going on? So that's what's going on. It's the death of the precious Son of God. And what we're remembering on Good Friday is that Jesus went to the cross willingly for sinners like us. This is what makes it good, right? Because this is our hope. Sinners like us had no hope until a perfect substitute could come and take our sin away forever. And tonight, as we're thinking about this, I want to draw you back to Zechariah to think about a prophecy that pointed to an event leading up to Good Friday. So, in Zechariah 11, verses 4 through 14, which maybe, did we read that today in our devotionals, those of you who did that, Zechariah 11? Zechariah is asked by God to act out a sign for the people. They've been going their own way and running after other shepherds to their own peril. And God invites Zechariah to become a shepherd to the people. These people are headed to destruction for rejecting him. So Zechariah takes on that role. He takes two shepherd staffs. One is named Favor, and one of them is called Union. Favor points to God's blessing, his joy, the promise that he's made to his people. The staff called Union points to the union of God with his people and the hope that one day all those kingdoms, the divided kingdom, could come together as one. All the people would be one kingdom together under one shepherd. And as God's chosen shepherd, Zechariah can make a difference among these people, but after 1 month on the job of this shepherding work, they quickly came to detest Zechariah. So he calls a curse on them, and he breaks both of the staffs as a sign to say, you've rejected the Lord, and he's going to reject you. And it's here in Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13, that we see the price that was paid. As they rejected Zechariah resigns his role of the shepherd, and here's what we read in Zechariah 11, 12. Then I said to them, if it seems good to you, give me my wages, but if not, keep them. And they weighed out as my wages 30 pieces of silver. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was priced by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord, to the potter. So 30 pieces of silver. If you've read your Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 32, 30 pieces of silver was the price that someone would pay for a slave that's been injured and can't work anymore. The people are saying to the shepherd who had ruled over them and guided them with wisdom, you're worthless to us. We'll only pay what we would pay for an injured slave. And it's here, hundreds of years before Jesus, that we learn how our good shepherd, Jesus, is going to be rejected by his people. It's quoted in Matthew's gospel. He mashes up some quotes from Jeremiah and Zechariah, and he actually attributes the quote to the more well-known prophet, which would have been Jeremiah. But we can see the point that our Lord was rejected by his people and betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. So here's what we read in Matthew 27, verses 9 and 10. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price on him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field as the Lord directed me. So Matthew is showing us that the same pattern whereby God's people despised and rejected God as their shepherd in Zechariah is repeated when the good shepherd, Jesus, is betrayed and rejected for 30 pieces of silver. Basically, you're worthless to us. Jesus came to bring forgiveness and grace, to bring favor and unity, and yet he was rejected and betrayed and sold off for silver. And this is the heaviness of Good Friday, right? Good Friday is good because Jesus is coming to die, but the heaviness is that we would reject him, that we would betray him, that we would turn him over for 30 pieces of silver. Now, you might think, well, that was all kinds of other people. I'd never reject him. But remember what happened in the upper room, one disciple after another promising their allegiance to him to the death and failing to maintain that. His closest followers couldn't even keep their word. So tonight, let's humble our hearts. Let's root out any ways that we might be rejecting our Lord and King. One writer wondered, why do people reject Jesus? Well, some people reject Jesus because they don't want to admit that he's God. Some refuse to give up control of their lives. Others reject him because they think they've heard everything about him and they find him to be outdated or outmoded. They want something or someone they feel is more sophisticated and intellectually challenging. Some reject Jesus because they're embarrassed to follow him in a culture that increasingly mocks and ridicules his name. Still others don't want to follow Jesus as their shepherd because it would mess up their religion and the pride they have in it. And that's exactly how Jesus was rejected when he walked on earth. The people of Israel used all those reasons to reject him. Christ came as God's great, wise shepherd, and yet Jesus was forsaken. And here's what we see in these verses tonight from Zechariah. We must not reject Jesus because he's the shepherd that we need the most. If we reject him, if we reject Jesus, he will ultimately reject us. Like, there's nobody in heaven that doesn't want Jesus, right? You know, you reject him, he's going to give you exactly what you want. He's going to reject you. Rejecting Jesus leaves us with the only alternative, following shepherds who will hurt us. When we refuse to follow Jesus as our shepherd, we'll inevitably follow someone or something that will lead us to destruction. And so tonight, as we search our hearts, Jesus came, he endured this rejection. He had the injured slave's price thrown in betrayal over him, and he still went to the cross willingly to accomplish salvation for us. He still endured all this for sinners like us. So let's allow the realities of Good Friday to provoke a searching of our hearts. And it might just begin that we just admit where we've rejected him for other things. Let's respond by believing in him. Believing in him as our good shepherd and putting our confidence in him. And so tonight, it might be that you just need this reminder that 30 pieces of silver prophesied in Zechariah help you adore your good shepherd. Let me pray. So Father, we thank you for your word and how amazing that 500 years before Jesus was on earth, you would allow Zechariah to act out this sign that would point to how your son would be rejected. And tonight, would you just show us in our hearts all the ways that we might be rejecting you, all the ways that we might be running after other shepherds and putting our confidence in them and not putting our confidence in you. So tonight, we want to own that rejection. We don't want to pretend that we're not sinners against you. And yet in the same breath, we want to admit that we need you, that we believe in you, that we're putting all of our confidence in you. And so tonight, use these 30 pieces of silver as a reminder that points us to how much we need you and can't reject you. So we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, now that everyone has been served, we're going to do something a little bit different this evening. For communion, we are having this as a whole meal rather than your typical little piece of bread, a cracker, and a little cup of juice. Here we're actually going to take the whole roll of bread and we're going to eat that together as a community. And then we'll take the cups. There's individual cups for you at the table, and pour each person at your table one of those. We'll not get there yet. But just let's everybody pick up the bread right now. You have everyone should have a loaf of, or a roll of bread in front of them. So grab that. We'll do kind of what the early church did. This is, we're remembering that Christ's body has been broken for us. It's a great reminder for us as we eat this, his body that was torn, that was beaten, that was bruised, and that he is the bread of life. I'm going to read for us from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Listen, it says, "Sir," this is the people talking, "give us this bread always." So Jesus told them, "I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again." Jesus is sufficient. This bread is sufficient for us. Jesus, this bread of life is sufficient for us. As Phyllis told us, we can easily reject this bread, but it is the one that truly satisfies us for eternity. So take that bread, take a bite off of that bread, and let's eat this together. And now, somebody at your table, start pouring out the sparkling juice that we have, enough for everybody at the table, and we'll take that together. As you're doing that, I'll continue to read from John chapter 6. Jesus continues, he says, "But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Amen? Jesus said that you will not drink again until you drink with me in the heavens. So let's drink and remember the eternal life that we have because of his blood poured out for us. Let's drink. So continue at your tables in the spirit of worship together, in the spirit of remembering Christ, right there together with your families at your tables. Continue to eat this bread, continue to drink this drink, remembering Christ. Let me pray as we continue our meal. Jesus, we are forever grateful. Forever grateful for your sacrifice, for the blood that was poured out for us, the cleansing of our unrighteousness, the great exchange that we now have, your righteousness for our unrighteousness. It is that we celebrate this evening. We celebrate the fact that it was the wrath of God that was poured out upon you, Jesus. And you bore that. You bore the sin. You bore the shame that was meant for us. And you took it for joy, for our salvation, for your glory. You did this. So thank you. May we remember this. May this be our sufficiency. May this be our everything. Spirit, remind us of that this evening. Remind us that you are, that Jesus, you are the one that we cling to. You are our hope, our righteousness. Refresh us, recalibrate us to that beautiful truth once again. All for your glory and for your name's sake, we pray. Amen.